Blog Talk Radio.
There comes a time in every man's life when he has that life-changing experience. That life-changing experience for me came when I found Jesus and made him my personal savior. I'd like to thank. Just listen to our national anthem, The Age of Freedom Has Come. Okay? Until you're ready to work for it, you're not going to get it. You got to work for freedom, boy, I'm telling you. Sometimes when you tune in early, you can listen to the words and sort of ponder on the words and what they actually mean, you know? But that's the national anthem for our society. Let me make an assertion right quick. As I walk the path of being honest and good, I will keep my mind focused on reaping what you sow. By doing this, I'll be walking the path of being enlightened, and I will get what I want, okay? the biggest problem is you have to really know what you want. Do we know what we want? You know what I mean? And you can literally get whatever you want if you know and sure about what you want, okay? Now, for the first 5 minutes, we always talk about love because love is so important. I want to do a whole hour on love, but certain things are coming up that are so important that we need to get into because we've been living in the matrix for a long time, and it's hard to, when you just pop out the matrix, to just see and understand everything. So you have to literally wake up. So this is what we're doing. This is a waking up process to those who are just coming out of the matrix or just realizing that they're even in the matrix. But when you're in the matrix, you don't know you're in the matrix because you sleep, okay? Like Martin Luther King said, he had a dream, right? You got to be asleep. You know, you got to be asleep to be dreaming, you know? Our slogan, love is an act that makes us feel good, you know. Now, there's four categories that we deal with when we deal with love. And each week, I've been taking one of those categories and sort of get into it for 5 minutes, you know. Emotion, the heart, the neural net, the action, reap what you sow, and the different languages that men and women speak. I think this one will get into the action of reap what you sow in reference to love. Okay, now women have a little bit of advantage because they know how to love. Men have to learn how to love. You know, love is it's a very interesting thing once you know what you're doing. You know how to do it. Love is an act that makes others feel good. So that takes us into the reap what you sow concept of love. Now, when you're in a relationship, you know, men focus on the big things. Well, I'm a man, I'm going to make the money and bring home the bacon, so to speak. But most cases, when you're in a relationship, I want to talk about relationships for a minute. It's about the little teeny things. It's not about the big things. The big things are important, but the little thing is what sort of lock you and bind you together in that relationship, you know. You know, you have to focus almost 100% on how to make the other person feel good, you know. Normally, what a person feels good about is what they're happy about most. So to make a person happy, if you focus on what makes them feel good, it's a lot of little stuff, you know, like if, let's say your wife likes, your husband likes vanilla ice cream or Rocky Road ice cream, whatever, and you're on your way out the door going to work and you happen to notice in the refrigerator that there's no Rocky Road ice cream. Well, when you come home from work, what should you have in your hand? You should have some Rocky Road ice cream in your hand. It's the small stuff. And you have to learn little things about your partner, you know. I'm just going to focus on this part for a couple of minutes here. If you give a woman money and say, go dress your man, she will dress you from head to toe and everything will fit like a glove. Because she knows how to love you, so she pays attention to all the little things. Give a man the money, say, go dress your woman. He has to call her sister, call her aunt. What's a petite or this kind of size? Because he don't know. Don't know what color stocks she like. Don't know what size her bra is or what her favorite lipstick is. He just don't know. I'm watching the movie Enemy of the State, right, and Will Smith. He married him, his wife get along pretty good. She's a lawyer, he's a lawyer, you know. And it was her birthday, so he went to the lingerie shop to get her a bra. And the lady asked him, what size bra? And he said, and he pointed to somebody else whose bra size looked about the same as about the same size as his wife's. But now this guy played with them things every night. Don't know what size they is. Well, see, that's what I'm talking about, you know. A lot of guys, you'd ask yourself, do you know what size dress she wear? Do you know what size underwear she wear? Now, how about the socks and the shoes, you know? What's her favorite cereal, you know? Does she like roses or daffodils, you know? All these little things are very important because this is part of her comfort zone, part of things that make her happy. See, now, women, they're used to loving their man. So they know all this stuff. You can ask a woman about her man's size, and, oh, boy, she will know what size you wear, everything. She knows everything about what you need to do because she focuses on these little things that you don't think about, what you like to eat, how you like things done, and the way you like things cooked. See what I'm saying? And, guys, you have to begin focusing on this stuff, too, because this is part of loving your wife or your girlfriend or however we do it these days, you know, baby mama, whatever you have different terms for relationships now. But if you're going to enter in a relationship and you're dealing with love, you have to focus on the little teeny thing because this is where the communication breakdown comes from, you know. While we're talking about that's going into language, but I like to talk about language too because you'll be talking to each other and you can't hear what each other's saying, you know. Like a friend of mine, he told me, well, look, you be in the car, right, and the guy got the window down, it's a little chilly. Well, the woman will say, well, you know, it's a little chilly in here, hoping that you get the message and put the window up. But the guy will say, yo, man, put that window up, it's cold in here. You understand? Women have been programmed not to be down on the man or to tell the man what to do because we've been programmed that the man is the head of this and the man runs everything. This is part of the matrix that we've been grown up in. So when you tell your man something, you usually do it in a form of a suggestion, you know, because you don't want to sound like you're just ordering him around, you know. And that's the difference between the two languages. So, like a woman would tell a guy, well, I've been telling you this for months. Well, I ain't heard you say nothing about this. She telling him all the time, but he just can't hear what she's saying because they're coming out as suggestions and not orders of what she's telling him to do. So when she says, well, there's a little chilly in here, he might think, well, ain't cold in here to me, so I'm good. But what she really said, yo, nigga, put the window up, man. That's what she's really saying, you know. But you can't hear it the way she said it, you know. And then after a while, when she get cold enough, she'll literally come out and tell you, yo, man, put the window up some, you know, it's cold in here. But she'd rather not go that route because she don't want to be telling you what to do. It's just all part of the matrix. I'm just dealing with the, because love is an art, you know, it's an art form. And we have to learn the art of love. Women study the art of love because it's important to them. They learn how to love at an early age, whereas men don't, you know. Men get a whole different mindset when it comes to love. I'm going to talk about love for 5 minutes. So I'm going to hold it right there on the love, and we'll continue more on the love, next week when we talk. And just 5 minutes at a time. But it's just to help you with your relationships and help you with what you're doing out there, you know. Now, the topic for today is Bible. Well, the topic for every week is going to be Bible, code book, or religious book, because we need power. And as a black community, as the 98%, we don't have power, okay? because we don't know where power comes from, and we don't know what generates the power. That's why the Bible is such an important book if you read it as a code book, all right? Now, right now, we're still focusing on Genesis. But I normally like to talk about just the four codes in the book that will help you focus on your power, because you have to gain power individually before you can deal with power collectively. So the first thing that I like to deal with in the Bible as a code is Psalms 82. That you are all gods. Now, what does that mean as a code? It means that's what your potential is, all right? What do I mean by that's what your potential is? If you consider yourself a man or a woman and you read whatever book that you read, whatever religion that you're in, it don't matter, they have restrictions on what a man and a woman can do. They even have restrictions on who's supposed to be in charge, whether a man in charge, a woman in charge, all that stuff. They have lots of restrictions on you as a man or a woman. But now, the book says that you are a god. Now, when you read all those same books, there's no restrictions, none, on what God can do. Oh, God can do whatever he wants. God can do anything. That's what your potential is. You can do anything you want because you got it like that. 40 years ago, what we were doing in this society and what we're doing in this society now, totally different based on the technology that we have achieved. And that's only the beginning, okay? That's only the beginning. We're just starting to flex our muscles as gods, not as men and women, but as gods, okay? So just basically dealing with your potential. Now, another, once we're dealing with that code, now we're dealing with another one. Why are you sick? So why are you so sickly and in the doggone hospital all the time? The book tells you, I have given you food and herb and seed-bearing plants for meat. That's your meat. And you can, the 1% is all over this because you can Google right now the Genesis diet, and they've got all kinds of diet. Where do you think vegan and all these diets come from? They come out of the book. They didn't just make this stuff up. They're getting it out of the book, but they're giving it back to you because you've been sleeping in the matrix and you don't know what it is. So you read it. A lot of us are called professed to be Christians and following the book, and they're out there eating all kinds of hogs and cows and chickens and everything else. But the book don't prescribe that for you. The book prescribes herbs and fruits, seed-bearing fruit. Okay, if you got a if somebody offering you a watermelon and call it organic, it can't be organic if it don't have. If they offer you a seedless watermelon and call it organic, it can't be organic if it don't have seeds in it. You know what I'm saying? This is why the dealing with the codes in the book will help you so much. If you deal with the book as a code book, it's not a religious book. Because once you get into the religious aspect, a lot of stuff absolutely don't make sense at all. And you get together and you're arguing about it, you're debating about it for hours at a time. Well, this means this or that means that. But certain things are so plain that it's not debatable. I've given you herbs and seed-bearing plants for meat. That's plain. There's nothing to debate about. You see, that's the code. If that's what you eat, you won't be sick all the time. You live going into your hundreds, you know, if you're eating properly, you know. You won't be, because the diet that they prescribe to you now, by the time you get 40, you're on medication. And you'd be on medication all your life, you know. Most people over 65, it's hard to find a person over 65 that's not on some kind of pill, some kind of medication. You know what I'm saying? That's because they're using the book as a religious book, not as a code book, okay? Now let's go to another code. I'm just going through certain things here, and then we're going to get into the topic of the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man. Very, very, that's a very powerful topic, okay? So now let's go to another one. We're talking about why you broke all the time, you know? The story of David, well, not David, Joseph, okay? Now, if you look at that as a code, at the end he told Pharaoh, spend half, save half. That's the 50% budget, okay? How many of you are on the 50% budget? Wouldn't it be nice to have half the money that you spend all your life? You'd be in pretty good shape if you had that. But if you were following the book as a code book, you would have been on the 50% budget soon as you came out of school, soon as you got your first job. You would have been putting half your money away, you know? But not understanding the code book, you don't know that, and the preachers that are teaching you aren't teaching you this stuff, okay? Because they're doing it as a religious book. They don't want you to put half your money away. They want you to give half your money to them. Start with 10% and go on and on and on, you know. This is why Joe Osteen, worth $80 million. All these guys, they're worth millions of dollars because they're not teaching you the book properly. If they were teaching you properly with the money that's coming in, no human being in this country should be sleeping on the street, should be pouring out of doors, because there's enough money coming in to do that. Now, why isn't it working? Let's go to Moses. You know, the whole story about Moses was setting up a centralized banking system. That's what the whole thing was all about, you know. And they got to deal where he was touching Moses, that Moses and this Moses, and he, what about the Red Sea and the reeds and all that stuff? None of that matters. What matters is that he set up a centralized banking system for his people. That's how they were able to build bridges and roads and houses and all that stuff, okay? Now, the church, they're using the same system, but it's not a centralized banking system for the people. They're using you to bring the money to them, but the money is for them to make more money, to open up more houses, to bring more people in, to make more money. And that's what's going on. You know, they're not opening up neighborhoods so that they can get people off the street. They open up, they go and open up a bigger church. Like the Pope. The Pope got big churches all over the place. You've seen some of these Catholic churches. Oh, my goodness. Big, beautiful buildings. But the buildings are there to make more money, you know, not to get the people off the street and all that. That's dealing with the story of Moses. Now, the story of Abraham. Abraham's showing you how to get your military set up. You know, how is he showing us how to get the military set up? Started off with three people, okay? Him, his wife, and his nephew. They're journeying all over Africa, you know. There's whole kinds of stories about their journey and what happened, you know. But the thing is, somebody kidnapped his nephew, and he took an army to go rescue his nephew. Now, where in the world did he get an army from? When you think about it, the army came from his group. The children were trained as military personnel, military tactics. That's where the army comes from. And when you send your children off to war, what are you doing? You're sacrificing your children on the altar for the God that's sending them. Okay? Now remember, Psalm 82, we're all gods. So if Abraham's sending them out, Abraham is a God that you're sacrificing your children to go to fight with. You see what I'm saying? And I've been in the military. A lot of children, we've sent a lot of our children to the military. You know what I mean? Well, what God are they fighting for if we're all guys? Now, think about it. When your child goes to the military, go to Vietnam and Germany and Iraq and all these places to fight, what God are you sacrificing your children for? You understand? Once you deal with the book, it's a code book, it begins. Things begin to make sense. That's what I'm saying, you know. So I just dealt with just throw those four codes out there so that if you follow just those four codes, you have professional children around you that can fight, because you make sure they get martial arts training. You let them, you teach them chess, go, even checkers, you know what I mean? You teach them some type of strategy games. You're taking them down to the range, showing them how to shoot. You know what I mean? Make sure they got weapons. If they over 8 or 21, I think it is, make sure they got weapons in the house and all that stuff, because they know how to use them. So that when you pick up a call, when you pick up the phone and call your children because somebody messed with you, you got a real squad coming. You know what I mean? This is what I'm saying. So we've been missing the picture because they haven't been teaching us the book as a code book. They've been teaching us the book as a religious book. As a religious book, there's money there. Money buys you influence, but money is not where the power comes. Money buys you influence, but they don't use the money to get the power. They use the money to get more influence. Like the Pope. Who got more money than the Pope? The Pope and the Queen are two richest people on the planet. You follow what I'm saying? The Queen, following the book through the code, she can put ships, tanks, everything out there. The Pope is following the book as a religious book. Pope ain't got no jets and nuclear weapons or nothing. The father said, but the Pope's influence is strong because he's dealing with the money. So what we're introducing you to, what we're talking about on Sunday, is how you can get your power, because we need power. As black communities do not have a centralized banking system, although everybody's reading the Bible. You know what I mean? If they gave us reparations today or tomorrow, who's going to handle the reparations? Who's going to control this stuff? You know what I'm saying? This is what I'm talking about, you know? So dealing with the book, now let's deal with the word religion. According to Tyrannical Scriptures, okay, complete volume, religion means realigning yourself with source energy. Okay, that takes us back to Genesis, dealing with, and God created, God made the heavens and earth. Okay, now if men and women are God, you're going back to Genesis, you have to think about it. What technology do these guys have to make the planets, the sun, the solar system, all that stuff? They must have some pretty good technology. And they did, you know. Can we duplicate that today? I'm just giving you a couple of for instances. You know, I'll have to go through this before I get into the topic. Just to give you an idea of how you're dealing with the Bible as a code book. Because everywhere it says God in there, they're talking about a man or a woman. Everywhere they say God. That's the first code. Once you get that part down, then you begin to see and understand the book. You know what I'm saying? So we need that kind of technology. Are we going towards that technology right now? Yeah, sure, man. We have the moon is a satellite. Do we have satellites up there? Yes, we do. So that means technology is coming back to us from what we have retrogressed to. We're not evolving into this. We're just going back to what we was and what we had and what we used to do. There's no evolution involved at all, you know. That's why over the last about 2,000 years, we still look the same. We didn't change it to our cranials didn't change and alter, you know. We've been the same. We looked like this when we first got here from the other planets. That's what I'm saying, you know. But that might be a little much, but. I'll get into that maybe next week. But well, right now it's time for the commercial. So let me get into the commercial. Right after the commercial, right, we're going to get into God's kingdom versus man, the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man. This is so powerful that I waited until this long to actually do this, you know. Oh boy, what did I do here? Yeah, I waited for this long to actually bring this topic up, because it's a very powerful topic. I don't know how long I'm going to be on the air, because it didn't get off the air sooner or later. But right now, while I'm on the air, I'm bringing it, okay? This is Elohim Five Tribes of the Constellation Elohim, Society of Love Radio. Every Sunday from 8 to 9, excuse me, we're here every Sunday from 8 to 9, that's Philadelphia time. The call-in number is 516-453-9230. Press 1 if you want to give us a shout-out. We won't mention your name. We just mentioned the last four digits of your phone number, okay? And you can ask questions, say anything that you want. It's cool, you know? Now we're going to, let's see here, where we at here. Also on Monday from 6 to 7, we'll be having society meetings. So everyone welcome until the end of January. So after that, every member's only. We'll be posting a day for non-members. The call-in number is 516-453-9230, 9230. Same number. And also now we have I released the gospel CD. This is where our money comes from. So we have gospel CD on the market, and that's called 911 Jesus Emergency. Jesus is coming. Now we ask ourselves, if Jesus is coming, where is Jesus coming from? He's coming from the same place he came from the first place, out of the goddess in the womb, okay? Oops. Out of the, I'm just making sure I got this right here so I can jot it down. Out of the goddess in the womb. So that's why we tell you sisters out there, be mindful of the babies that you dump here, because the child you dump just might be the one that that's going to get us out of this mess, okay? And remember, brothers, it takes two sisters to make, it takes two to make them and two to take care of them, okay? And don't forget to check out my book, Canonical Scriptures Part 2, Christ Has Come. Information on the book called 215-758-1703, okay? Also, I'm in the gold business, so if you I buy and sell gold, so if you need gold for anything, you gotta give us a call, 215-758-1703, and I will try to give you the price of your carry bars, okay? I would like to give a shout out to Hans Butler for his book, When Marks Cry Out. I like him because he understands our history and helps fill in the missing pieces. I'd like to give a shout out to Legacy of the Nation, hosted by Matt and Son. It comes on every Saturday at 6 p.m. Eastern. They talk about Black history, health, economics, and politics. The calling number is 319-527-6199. I would also like to give a shout out to Sister Tammy. She's on YouTube under the name Kametria 11, and she has a spoken word, and the words she speaks is pretty good. So you need to check her out. I'd like to give a shout out to the Nikki Love Show. She's a spiritual advisor. She comes on YouTube at Nikki Love 09. The calling number is 909-749-8626, okay? I'd like to give a shout out to Division 121 of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Division 121 of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 1918 and 1929 of the world. They meet every week. For more information, contact President Mark P. at UNA 267-822-2320, okay? I also have to give a shout out to the AIA. They're offering land to build on in Africa. RBG Industries, they make their own clothes, buttons, and flags. If you want a good tailor made out for the land, just call 609-68-5828, and he'll take care of it, okay? Shout out to Sycamore Electronics. The calling number is 215-909-3352 from 9 to 5. I also like to give a shout out to Dr. Tom Thornton. He writes under the name of, he has an old school style out of Philadelphia. He has 60 CDs on the market. Just Google YouTube, Heaven 2019 T. Thornton for more information. It's called 267-259-4077. Okay, I'd like to give a shout out to the Taylor Thompson Learning Academy, a licensed and certified chief diversity nurse who is currently in medical school and will soon be a doctor. Taylor Thompson has him before and after school service in the West Philadelphia area. So for best quality children's service, just call 610-638-8352 from 6 a.m. To 6 p.m. Monday through Friday, okay? Email address is taylortalklearningacademy@gmail.com. I'd like to give a shout-out to our resident naturopathic healers and doctors. Dr. Paul, his number is 215-779-7355. And Dr. Bill, his number is 631-561-3864. So if you're sick and I'll have you guys on speed dial, you need to be sick. Well, we don't really see nobody. You need to be sick. So just give them a call. Don't worry. Be healthy, okay? Now we're going to get into our main topic for today, and that's the kingdom of God, okay, versus the kingdom of man. All right. Now, oops. Well, I said that a bit away. Oh, there it is. Okay. Now, those of you, we don't have a chat room set up, so I have to figure figure out how to do that. And right now, everybody that's on the line, I'd like to thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate you letting me know that I'm not here by myself. Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate it. And so right now we're going to get into the main topic for today is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man. Now, this is a very powerful topic, okay? This is going to be very interesting. I waited a long time to get into this because most of us, like I said, is in the matrix. And you're asleep. And we're trying to wake you up, okay? Now, let's think about this. Now, the Bible says we are gods, okay? Now, the kingdom of man deals with the natural order of things, right? Now, what is the natural order of things? The jungle, the lions, the beasts out there, all that's the natural order of things. That's the kingdom of man, see, because man can't rise above nature. Just like man can't fly. You can go outside and flap your wings, but you ain't flap your arms, but you ain't going nowhere, okay? Now, the kingdom of God is an organized society. Right now, most of us, especially the ones that talk to me on the phone, we're living in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is beyond nature, okay? We get too much rain. We got drainage systems and all that stuff so that the extra water can run on. This is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not bound by nature. When God decides he wants to fly, God makes a plane and flies. So nature, God is not bound by nature because God made nature. This is why in the book it says you are all God. To let you know that you have an unlimited potential. Your potential is unlimited, see? Right now, you're living in the kingdom of God. And when people come from the kingdom of man, they're at the borders trying to get in. Because in the kingdom of man, ain't no milk in the refrigerator, no electricity and none of that stuff. You're out there with the elements. You're out there with the animals. You run into a lion, proper tools made by God, that lion will eat you alive. You know what I'm saying? Even a knife is part of the kingdom of God that you would use to kill a lion with. Okay? So the kingdom of man and versus the kingdom of God. See, where you are actually living in the kingdom of God. This is a made world. This is a made society. We make these worlds up for God. You see what I'm saying? Now, the 1% don't want you to know that this is the kingdom of God. They want you to think the kingdom of God is somewhere off planet. No, that's not it. The kingdom of God is right here. The kingdom of God is beyond nature. You hear a lot of people, I want to go back to the natural order of things, and we got to deal with nature, this, that, and the other. That's the kingdom of man. See what I'm saying? And when you enter the kingdom of man, it's rough out there. You know what I'm saying? In the kingdom of man, there's no electricity, okay? There's no roads. There's no milk in the refrigerator and all that. This is the kingdom of man. That's the natural order of things. That's the kingdom of man. But when you're dealing with the kingdom of God, see, you are beyond nature. Think about that. Nature don't control God. God controls nature, okay? We get too much snow. What do? We pull out the trucks and the snow piles and we clear the streets because nature can't stop God. You follow what I'm saying? So you're living in the kingdom of God right now, all right? The 1% know this, that you're living in the kingdom of God. It's the 98% who are ignorant to what's going on because the 1% don't want you to know who you are. Well, I'm a man, and I'm going to do like a man do. Well, a man is very limited to what he can do, but a God is not. This is why you're being overcome, because you're functioning as men and women back into the natural order of things. The natural order of things means that you can't rise above nature. If you're a man dealing with the natural order of things, you know, I used to say back in the day, well, if man was meant to fly, God would have gave him wings. you think about it, this is what they used to say back in the day. You follow what I'm saying? They're like, you know, you have to realize that that book is very powerful and it's telling you things that will upgrade your thought process so that you can get into some of this powerful stuff. This is why there's no power. The 98%, well, they have the illusion that they don't have power. But the 98% is carrying all of the power. You follow what I'm saying? The 1% could not exist without the 98% because we're carrying the power. They're eating because of what you're doing. Okay, they're living in these buildings because of what you're doing. They're not doing all this here stuff. They're relying on you. They depend on the 98% to survive. But they don't want the 98% to know that they can be the 1%. Okay, they can flip the script whenever they get ready. This is why it was so important, okay, for you to have the right to vote. So that you can have some control over the kingdom of God. Okay? You. This is, people are texting me, I don't know why. This is, you're living in the kingdom of God. Okay? You have the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man. The kingdom of man is the natural kingdom. That's the natural order of things. That's the kingdom of man, you know? And you have people that are fighting to get back to the natural order. As men and women, that's where they want to live at. But in the natural order, you can't control nature. Nature controls you. You see what I'm saying? But in the kingdom of God, you control nature. That's what I'm saying. People are at the borders because... the kingdom of man, I'm telling you, the kingdom of man is rough when you're dealing with yourself as from the kingdom of man. You know, you're not dealing with yourself as a god. You're dealing with yourself as a man or woman. You're sleeping on the street. And they can't figure out, why am I sleeping in the tent? What have I done to get to this point? And then you say, God, why is God doing this to me? You follow what I'm saying? When the God that you're really talking about is in the mirror, you're the God that's doing it to you. You follow what I'm saying? You're your own worst enemy because you don't know who you are. You don't know the difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of man because the 1% God, you think in the kingdom of God is somewhere off the planet. You follow what I'm saying? But the kingdom of God is right here. The kingdom of God is beyond nature. Can man, in his natural state, leave the planet? No, he can't, because the elements will tear him to pieces. He can't even go so high because the air is too thin for him to even breathe. If you're dealing with the kingdom of man, dealing with nature. But when you're dealing with the kingdom of God, that don't mean anything to God. God overcomes all this here stuff because God made nature. So if you made something, you know how to deal with it. We know how to deal with the ionosphere and the stratosphere and all the spheres that got up there, you know? So we built a ship to go up there. Colonel Gregory built the cockpit for, and it was the 1980s, the most sophisticated piece of machinery on the planet was built by Colonel Gregory. Well, he's a black man. That's why you don't hear too much about him. But it was built by him. You follow what I'm saying? So that they can go off planet, you know? Man can't go off planet, but God can. So we're dealing with the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man. You hear a lot of people tomorrow, we have to go back to nature. We have to get back to the natural order of things. Well, this is a man talking. You follow what I'm saying? When you got men and women talking like that, they're not trying to achieve no great things. Because they want to deal with nature. But man can't overcome nature. Man has to live with nature. And once you start living with nature, boy, oh boy, it gets rough. You follow what I'm saying? Because you don't have the tools of God with nature. Okay? You go out in the jungle right now without the tools of God, everything out there can destroy you. You can't fight no elephant with your bare hands. If you don't think I'm lying, go try it. but they have a gun. God made a gun that he can kill an elephant with one shot. They call it elephant gun. This is what God does. Because God said, hey, nothing in nature can control me. Nothing in nature is above me because I made nature. So nature can't overcome me, whether it be the wind. They got buildings that they're making now that when the hurricanes come, that the hurricanes can't bring the buildings down. This is God overcoming nature. Okay? When it rains too much, you know, they got the drainage system, water runs off, everything is fine. This is why people are at the borders of the kingdom of God trying to get in. Because the kingdom of man, I'm telling you, it's rough out there in the kingdom of man. And all of you who don't realize that you are God living in the kingdom of God, you open your refrigerator, man, you got eggs in there, you got milk in the carton. You feel what I'm saying? You got everything is right at your fingertips. You turn the speaker on, not only water come out, but hot water comes out. Then they got things that you put on it because you know that nature puts stuff in the water that can harm you. So they got little things in there that filter the water to overcome what nature's doing to the water. This is the kingdom of God. See what I'm saying? This is the kingdom of God that you're living in. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of man are two different kingdoms. The kingdom of man is the natural order of things. That's nature running its course, where you're not overcoming nature. The kingdom of God, nature is not natural. I'm going to say that again. The kingdom of God is not natural. Because it overcomes nature. And nature have no control over the kingdom of God because God made nature, just like it said in Genesis. God created the heavens and the earth. The technology that God had to do that, we're coming back into that technology again because something happened to cause us to retrogress into a state that we forgot who the heck we were. Okay? This is a wake-up call, okay? The kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man, okay? You are not men and women. I'm going to say that again. I don't think you heard me. You are not men and women. Oh, well, I forgot. I want to thank everybody that's on the line. I appreciate you calling me and letting me know I'm not here by myself. But now remember, this is an interactive show. All you got to do is press 1 if you have a comment or question, okay? And I will answer your comments and your questions. The object of this show, when I go Bible code book or a religious book, the object of that is to wake you up to what your ancestors have left for you to bring you into power, realigning yourself with source energy. That's religion, okay? What is source energy? Who is source energy? Everything, period, is made up out of energy. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. This is where you come from. This is why they tell you you can't be destroyed because when this physical form goes out, you go into incorporeal, you come back to your incorporeal energy, and you go back to your original home, which is the incorporeal dimension. We'll talk about that one day. I'm saying I don't want to go too far, but I'm here. We're dealing with the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man. People are at the kingdom of God's borders trying to get in so they can get some of this godly stuff that they're not getting out there. See what I'm saying? Now you have people, you have gods out there who are running the kingdom of God, but they're not running it properly because God should not be suffering out there. Okay? They have God suffering as men and women, under the natural order of things, because they believe that they are men and women. And they believe that they, well, we can't do this. Well, God put this on me, and God won't. What's the saying they give? God won't give you more than you can handle. You know what I'm saying? What God are you talking about? You know what I mean? You think that it was a, you they even got us believing that it was your fault that the wicked gods put you in slavery. Those are wicked gods who put you in slavery. You follow what I'm saying? All of their children are wicked, but the ones, you got wicked gods and you got righteous gods all throughout the Bible. You got gods in here that's killing babies and all this here kind of. Those are not righteous gods. You got different gods in the book. It ain't the same God talking all the time when you're dealing with the book. That's why you get into it as a code book, not as a religious book, okay? Remember, all you got to do is press 1, and I'll bring you in right away. You can make a comment or statement or whatever you want to do. But now, right now, we're dealing with the topic for today, okay, is the kingdom of God versus the kingdom of man. I don't want to live in the kingdom of man. I like electricity. I like cutting faucet on the hot water come out. I like going outside, getting in my car. You follow what I'm saying? In the kingdom of man, we used to walk from here to New York. Okay? God said, nah, yo, man, it's too much taking me all this time to go from here to California in a doggone wagon. Oh, no, 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 no. We got to do better than that. I know who I am now. Now that I know that I'm God, I don't have to settle for no wagon. I don't even have to settle for the car. You know what I mean? I can get me a plane now. And I don't have to settle for the plane because they're working on the technology where they can send your molecules from one place to another. You watch Star Trek. You know what's on their mind. This is where God is trying to go. You know what I'm saying? And you think that's not where they're going? That little watch you got on your arm, they brought that out with the Dick Tracy crew back before you was born. Okay, somebody just check that. So let me see if they have a comment or a statement. I see we got a hand up here. 1294, your mic is open. You have a comment or a statement you want to say?
Yeah, how you doing, Brother Elohim? This is Brother
I'm
Rob.
Doing good. Hey, Brother Rob, how you doing, man? I heard from you in a minute. You okay over there?
Yeah, I'm just chilling, man. Trying to stay warm. I want to ask you a question. I've heard you use that term incorporeal state. What does the word incorporeal mean? And when you say incorporeal state, when we die, we return back to our incorporeal state. What is that exactly?
Okay. I don't know if you can still Google this or not, but in the birthing process, right? When the egg is first fertilized, okay, that's the two physical elements coming together. And the egg vibrates at a certain frequency, okay, and the spirit enters the egg. That's when the egg is actually alive. And a light, a glow comes on that egg. They have the technology now where you can literally see this, okay? So
the Big Bang theory, right?
Say that again?
The Big Bang theory?
No, there was no Big Bang. That's just more hype that they bring you up with. This has nothing to do with the Big Bang. It has to do with incorporeal energy. This is what you asked me, right?
Yeah.
So it has to do with the energy that enters the egg. Incorporeal energy is what they call in spirit, or your soul. All this is actually incorporeal. I mean, it's not physical. It's not a physical energy. See what I'm saying?
Right.
So they can't measure it as a physical energy. Although there are some books that have tried to measure this energy when people die. They try to measure the energy that leave the body, but they're having trouble dealing with this energy. Until they are able to handle dark matter, they won't be able to actually deal with this incorporeal energy. But it's incorporeal means not physical. Incorporeal means physical. So you have an energy in you that's not physical, which is actually who you are. Okay? And that non-physical energy is what is what's running your body right now, not the physical energy. And that non-physical energy enters the egg at conception. That's why the people of conscience are out there fighting about them dumping the babies, you know, at such an early age with abortion and stuff. And they're on the right track with that. But the
that's why I said when you were talking about the light, and when it reaches the egg, I was always taught that at the head of the sperm, is a tetrad light, which is just like tetrad sunlight that cracks that egg, and inside between the egg and the sperm, that would be considered the Big Bang Theory. I'm not talking about something in the cosmos. I'm talking about at the point of conception.
I understand what you're saying. But you have the egg vibrates at a certain frequency, and the sperm vibrates at a certain frequency. Now, the speed of the sperm is what literally penetrates the egg. Because it's like Einstein, they give me credit to Einstein for the theory, although it comes from Inotep, E equals something, ER, or something like that. I forget the term that they use. But something traveling at a certain rate of speed can penetrate something that's vibrating at a certain rate of speed. You can take water and take a brick out of a building if you have enough force behind the water. You follow what I'm saying? So
yeah.
it's the speed and the frequency of the sperm that literally penetrates the egg. Follow what I'm saying? And so once the egg is penetrated, the genetic coding, physical genetic coding, that causes the egg to vibrate at a certain frequency. And at that frequency, the incorporeal energy literally enters the egg. That being that the egg is going to be, that's when the egg actually become alive. Because if that energy don't enter the egg, even with the genetic coding, the child is stillborn. The child will not become alive. Because it's that incorporeal energy, okay, that keeps the egg vibrating at a certain speed and carry it all the way through the, I forget the terms they use when it breaks into the different, and it breaks up into 4 and 6 and 8 and all that, and the cells begin to grow, and it starts to turn into a child. So it's the incorporeal energy that keeps the child alive. Follow what I'm saying? So the earth vibrates at 72 megahertz, the brain vibrates at 72 megahertz, the body has a certain vibratory frequency. And if the frequency gets too low, then the energy can't live in the body no more. That's when the energy leaves the body. Sometimes people die, the energy comes back in the body, and the body comes back to life again. So it's all about frequencies, you know? So
yeah.
Incorporeal.
I know that from reading the Bible, it says that the kingdom of heaven is within. And you were talking about the kingdom of man and the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven.
I didn't say the kingdom of heaven. See? I said the kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God, right. Well, isn't that the same thing as the kingdom of heaven?
No.
I mean, I could be totally wrong. That's why I'm asking.
Right, because all the books tell you that God lives in heaven. You know what I'm saying? So if the kingdom of heaven is within you, they're talking about the incorporeal energy that lives in heaven. See?
I got it.
You see what I'm saying? So that's what they're talking about, you know?
To me.
Yeah, so this is what I'm saying. When you start dealing with the Bible as a code book, everything begins to open up, you know? You get a DNA awakening. Oh, that's coming from the teaching of Jesus. Yeah, sure, that's how you get the DNA awakening. But it's just amazing how everything begins to open up to you. See, you are incorporeal energy in flesh. That's who you are. And you're not the physical person that they're calling men and women. That's not who you are. You are the incorporeal entity that we call God, or your Elohim. That's who you're actually. Elohim. See what I'm saying? that's who you are, you know. We're just about out of time here, actually running out of time. I'm going to make this assertion right quick, and the closing assertion, and we have like 10 or 15 minutes after we stop streaming, so we can talk for a couple of seconds, you know. I have walked the path of divine energy today and did not break the universal law of reap what you sow. All energy went out for a divine purpose, and I will reap what I have sown this day. All that I have put out, I eagerly embrace its return. So let it be written, so let it be done. So now, we're no longer streaming. So we do have a couple of minutes to actually talk about what you're talking about for a few more minutes if you want to, you know. But the book, the Bible actually gives you the codes. Your ancestors left these codes here for you so that you can gain power. And you can't have power until you know who you are. See, if you don't know who you are, you don't know what your potential is. So your incorporeal energy formed in flesh, that's who you are. And that incorporeal energy is what's powering the flesh. And that incorporeal energy communicates with the mind, not the brain. The incorporeal energy communicates with the mind, and the mind uses the brain to communicate on the physical plane. And that's what's going on. Incorporeal energy, it can communicate on the physical plane, but we have to be at a certain point to do that. This is when you get into the teachings of Buddha and all those guys. So it takes a little
time. You're raising your vibration, right?
Right, right. You're raising your vibration. You're able to control your vibrations. You're able to control your frequencies. And as you control your frequencies, you're able to do more. You can see auras and all this here kind of stuff. You know what I mean? You can, through the meditative process, you can send light out to help people or light out to destroy people. It's based on what you know and what you're doing. This is some of the things that we go through. Well, all this, what I'm talking about now, is in the Tyrannical Scripture Complete Volume. That's the book you get when you sign up. All this is in that book, you know, how to meditate, how to deal with, how to get your light going and your different vibrations and all that's in there, you know. So I just hope I was able to shed some light on your question, because the information that we're getting is not actually accurate from this society, because this society is constantly feeding us misinformation, because they don't want you to know that the God that you're praying to is in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? That's the God that you're praying to. Huh?
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you know, if you want the answers to your life, just look in the mirror. And your mirror is your greatest teacher.
Right, and it's also where your greatest enemy is.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you actually, you actually can do things to stop yourself from being successful. You know, can't nobody stop you from doing what you want to do, because you can figure out a way to get it done once you realize who you are. As God, you have no limit. And I'm not saying you God. The Bible says you God. You know what I'm saying? And that book opens up a whole new thought process when you deal with it from actual codes. So this whole thing is getting ready to shut down right now. So at this point, I'm going to have to close out. I'm just going to shut off anyway, okay? We're going to have a couple of minutes after the only scheduled for an hour. To give you a couple of minutes over the hour, just in case you want to talk a little longer. But I'm glad you called in, because I haven't heard from you in a minute, and I'm glad you're okay out there and everything is going okay, you know. But you need to, when you feel comfortable, come on and sign up so I can get these books to you. So that
I certainly will.
Yeah, and tomorrow, 6 o'clock, okay? We're going to be dealing with society stuff tomorrow at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock.
Okay. Yeah, okay. 6 o'clock on Monday. The same number, right?
Right.
Okay. But
thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. You're quite welcome, and I love you, and you stay strong out there. Okay.
You too, bro.
Yes, sir.
All right. Good night.